Everyone is looking for love. And they're desperate to find it.
We must show them love.
We must introduce them to love, to Jesus. To Jesus. For this is true revival. Love is all they need. Everlasting love. Rise up and go and show them love, revival love, supernatural love. Jesus is love. I am crazy excited about the coming outpouring of the Spirit. I feel in my bones, I know it. Every prophetic cell in my body is just waiting with anticipation for what God is about to do. It's going to be fresh. It's going to be new. It's going to be different than any way that He's moved before, but it will be God. And today I have a very special guest, Apostle Barbara Yoder, who has been involved with revival, who actually is a revival looking for a place to happen, who has seen outpourings of the Spirit. She is prophetic and apostolic. And Barbara, it is amazing to have you with us today. Thank you for coming.
Well, it's just great to be here. I've been excited about this, looking forward to it since you and I first connected.
Yeah, I know there's a real synergy, a real agreement in the Spirit. You know, when you meet someone who thinks the same way, believes the same way, moves the same way, and I can tell that you see through the Lord's eyes what is about to happen. And you know, you've seen moves of God, I mean, all over the world, but even over in Eastern Europe, and that recently, great outpourings of the Spirit, sovereign moves of the Spirit in your meetings. And I mean, the presence of God moves when you preach the word. And I mean, you're an amazing preacher too. But there's something new happening right now. Can you share with us what your insight is on that?
Let me preface it with this statement first. Recently, I had a dream. And in the dream, to make a long story short, the ending of the dream was my spiritual mentor came to me, and I was speaking at this huge, prestigious conference, and she came to me. I'd lost my notes, and I was in a panic because this was the second time I'd spoken. The first time I'd given a stellar presentation, and she said, "It doesn't make any difference that you've lost your notes." She said, "Speak from your heart. People need the heart." And when I woke up, I realized that God was saying He wasn't looking for my great preaching.
Right.
He was looking for my heart, and people were looking for heart. And out of that has come just sort of this, God just help me and lead me to share with them how really I came into revival and what revival looks like, because I didn't come into revival in a sense through the church. I came into revival outside of the church, and then it affected the marketplace. And so mine, although it was synergized and fed from within the church, the revival that I experienced literally transformed the marketplace.
What did that look like? Share with us a little bit of a snapshot of what that was like.
First of all, it was incredibly fun. Secondly, it was incredibly moving, because what happened was I'd been so overcome by the liquid love of Jesus, the outrageous love of Jesus, that I was overcome. I could read a genealogy and, run into Hooba dooba dooba dooba's name, in some of those Old Testament names.
Power.
And I just weep, I'd weep over anything in the Bible. And I was just so touched by God.
Wow.
And so I couldn't keep my mouth shut.
Wow.
And I had to tell everybody about what was happening. And I was sure they wanted it. I mean, it had made such an incredible difference in my life. I was sure everybody wanted this.
How long ago was that?
Well, that was about 30 years ago now.
Wow.
But what happened was I just began to do what God told me to do. I hadn't been to church to learn how to heal the sick, how to cast out demons, how to minister to people. I hadn't learned anything. But at the time, I was in graduate school, and you'll laugh at this, because It was just where I was. God meets us where we're at, uh-huh. and he meets us whether we're totally cleaned up or not.
Yeah.
And so when I didn't have a date on Friday nights, I would play penny poker with the nuns. We were all poor. They'd taken a vow of poverty. I was just poor because I was in graduate school. So we played penny poker and buy a bottle of Boone's Farm wine. It was the only thing we could afford. We never got drunk. We couldn't. All we had money for was one bottle, and we shared it around. Just had a blast. But I'd just gotten baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I said, wow, perfect time for a Holy Spirit meeting. So all these are getting a graduate degree. Every single one of the nuns, after we'd played penny poker and had our little bottle of Boone's Farm wine, then I had my Holy Spirit meeting, and they all got baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
And some of them became strategic leaders in the Catholic Charismatic Movement.
Wow.
And so that's how it happened with me. I just thought everybody wanted to know about Jesus.
Right.
So the director of my department in graduate school, I had her over for dinner, just told her about what happened. It ended up, she became a believer. She's a believer to this day,
wow.
Spirit-filled. She got baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit, saved the whole bit. And mine was just my being overcome by Jesus and just affecting the place where I was. I didn't go to church to shake, rattle, and roll.
Right.
Because they weren't shaking, rattling,
right,
and rolling.
Right.
Now, I did shake back then because I didn't know what to do with the power of God. It would come on me, and I would just shake. And people would say, well, you can stop that. Well, I really worked hard at stopping it because I didn't know what to do with it, but it was just part of my experience of learning what to do when the Holy Spirit comes
right.
upon you.
And the joy that he brings when he comes. I remember my own encounter, you know, about almost 40 years ago now.
I know, it's incredible.
It's just like, talk about liquid love. It just transforms
yeah.
you. And I think that is what the world needs now, is love. And it's, God is dealing with his church. That's one of the areas I feel that is going to be revived. Is like, it's not about how much we know up here, what
no.
we can put together. It's about from the heart, can we love? And what does love look like
yeah.
at such a time as this? And for you, it was like, you know, just letting it, even without knowing everything that you needed to know, without having life all cleaned up, just taking what he had given you at the time, and in innocence and just in childlike faith, releasing mm-hmm. that and watching the Holy Spirit move. So how do we get there today if we are kind of like structured, you know, we've been walking with the Lord for 40 years or whatever, and we've learned all this stuff, and we've learned how to do this and that and the other, but we want to get ready for this next move. How do we reestablish that childlike faith?
I just think it's number one, I did go through a season that probably my passion for God was diminished, in the sense that I'd been through a lot of hard things, one right after another. Mm-hmm. And so I was having to, for want of a better word, get my soul healed again
mm-hmm.
and just get back on track with God. Not that I was doing anything wrong, but it was just so much that that my heart didn't beat for God like it had. But I just found God. I just cried out to him and began to say, God, I need you in a fresh and a new way, because I know what it is to be in yeah. revival. I believe we're to be in revival
all
24 hours a day,
amen.
7 days a week, 365 days a year. And I just cried out to God. And I remember in 2011, I had emergency surgery for a ruptured appendix and was getting ready to go to South Africa. And the minute the doctor touched my abdomen, she said, I've got to rush you to the hospital. So in that moment, I felt very emotional and a little bit nervous. But the minute, it just took a minute, and I had incredible peace. Well, what happened was I was taken off the front lines. I was taken out of commission.
Right.
And so I had 2 months where I just, in a sense, laid around. And the amazing thing was that God in his grace just came in his presence. The cloud of his presence would literally come into his room. I would experience angelic presences. I knew they were in my room, and it was I'd start weeping in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night were awesome times for me when I would really meet with God. And God just totally refreshed me during that time and brought me back to just a place of simplicity. I except you become as a little child.
Yeah.
You can't enter the kingdom.
And
to me, revival is all about being childlike.
Yes.
And just believing God. I look back to when I got saved, and Patricia, I would just pray and God would show me things.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a woman who was going to kill herself. The Lord told me in prayer one morning, again, I didn't know anything. He would say, go over to so-and-so's house. She's going to kill herself. Mm-hmm. I went over there, didn't know what to do. I had no training, just took her hands. Mm-hmm. And I just believe God loved her. If he sent me there, he'd heal her.
Right.
So I just went over there, didn't know anything, just knew God liked to heal people.
Yeah.
Took her hands and prayed for her. And the woman was healed. She was seeing a psychiatrist 3 days a week on, I think, 6 different psychotropic medicines. Mm-hmm. Within 6 months, she was off all medication. She was not seeing the psychiatrist anymore.
Wow.
I believe we can walk in that same anointing today.
Yeah.
And we're looking to do things in the church. But everything I did was out of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to me through just that simplicity of childlike faith.
That is the key.
And that's what I think we need today. We need to return to first things.
We need to. You know, recently you hosted an event, and I had the privilege of serving with you in that event.
I loved that event.
I know, I loved it because it was so different. Like, over the years, as an itinerant minister, I've been in many different, you know, conferences. I mean, we're in them every week, right? Okay.
Yeah.
And they're the same. Pretty much the same format and everything, the same style of preaching. And, you know, you get up, and, you know, you preach and things happen. And, you know, it's kind of so predictable. But what I loved about that conference is that Lord had spoken to you ahead of time about speaking from the heart. And he had given us the direction. And it was like, I think we all concurred, like the Lord had prepared all of us over the months previously with the same thing. So we just got there and truly shared from the heart. And you had big platform speakers there who had been on, you know, really big influencers.
Mm-hmm.
And yet all of them were so open and vulnerable. I mean, there was a senator, there was, like, you know, people from, you know, the Christian circles that were prophets and that. But everyone was so open, vulnerable, and real from the heart. And there was, like, it was non-churchy, it was non-conferencey. I actually felt like I was in a living room with everyone, and that we were talking about Daddy.
Yeah.
And engaging with Daddy. And I really feel there's something on that, because when you go out into the marketplace, you can't get on a soapbox and start preaching at people.
No.
It has to be from the heart. And
absolutely.
When you think about it, when we were brand new Christians and, you know, we had been touched by liquid love and everything, life was beautiful. We were looking through this new lens like little children. And it was like, it was infectious. So many people got one to the Lord out there on the streets, the marketplace, wherever we were. We didn't have knowledge of anything else. I mean, we definitely weren't platform speakers, but everywhere we went, you know, lives were touched. And I think that is what we're coming back to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, Patricia, I think true revival it really revolves around our stories.
Mm-hmm.
And my story, your story, as we share it, affects people. And that doesn't need to be done in church. It needs to be done out. Mm-hmm. I never really told my story in church. It was to my friends I told my story, to my bosses that I told my story. My brother, who was studying his doctorate at Duke University, one of the most prestigious universities in the U.S., he's now working for the leader of a Middle Eastern Muslim nation, raising up a scientific institute. I called him because God just spoke. It's just listening to the simplicity of hearing the voice of God. God told me it was time for my brother. My brother came up. He got saved, baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then he went back. As a result of it, his director got saved. And God just began to infiltrate the marketplace. Wow. I believe we don't need a revival in church as much as we need it in the people. And then the people begin to go here and there outside of church in the marketplace and just begin to infect others with it. It's exactly. The one disease you want to make, and it makes you incredibly ill at ease with what you were formerly.
Right.
It is a type of disease.
Yeah, it's just awesome. You know, I think it's a time for us to redefine ministry, because the concept, I think, in people's minds is like, okay, to be a minister of the gospel, a minister of his kingdom, it's like fivefold ministry. You have to be appointed to fivefold ministry. You have to be behind a pulpit. But it actually says in Ephesians 4 that the fivefold ministry gifts are to equip the believers for the work of the ministry, which is out and about. It's taking the kingdom of God that is in us, the king who is in us, and letting him just spill out all over the place. And a lot of people, and especially if you are watching today, you might be a woman at home caring for your husband, your children. And I've heard this a lot of women saying, well, when I finish raising my children, then I'll be able to go into ministry. But the thing is, if you have a mindset of knowing, no, my life is service, it's just like everything he is in me can spill out, and you serve him with that passion, then the greatest mission field is your home. The greatest place of ministry is what you can release, not only in your home, but through your home to the world around you. So it's like people that are working, let's say, serving coffee in a coffee bar. Mm-hmm. What a strategic place to be.
Absolutely.
Cleaning the floors in a school. What a strategic place to be. Serving as a public servant in government. What a strategic place to be. But up until the last number of years, we've never thought of that as being true ministry. But that is how the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, as we all let revival, like himself, spill out through us into the world around us, and know that we are defined not only as children of God, but as his beloved ministers in the earth.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's so true. And we have this one minister in my apostolic network. She's just crazy. She's real unique. She'll do anything. And she had heard that this farm was in trouble in a certain area of Michigan. She went out to visit them, and they said these had been farmers who had moved over from Holland. There were several farms in this area of Michigan. They call it the Thumb of Michigan. Who'd moved over from Holland to buy farms and work them. Well, she pastored a local Methodist church, of all things, but she'd gotten to know us and one of my pastors and got totally infected with the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
So she's out there in this rural area of Michigan, visits this farm and says, how are you doing? They said, we're in a mess. We're going to go bankrupt. And she said, well, why didn't you tell me sooner? She said, I'd come out here and bring some people. We'd pray. She said, I'm going to get them, and we're going to come and pray for your farm. Well, to make a long story short, she took a team out there from our church. They prayed for the farm. The farm got healed. Yeah. All the cows got healed. They had quarantined the cows.
It's awesome.
They were going to have to literally sell everything, get rid of it. The cows got healed.
Come on.
And then the crops got healed, because that happened.
The
farmers from Holland said, whoever your God is, we want it. They all got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then all of the Dutch farmers, it spread among them. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, erupted a church, which we called the Barn of Shekinah. Shekinah's our church. And all these Dutch farmers were meeting in this barn.
Oh my goodness, I love it.
Just out of the simplicity of a revival that happened in a rural area, because somebody went out and said, God can heal your farm. He can heal your cows. And
Martha,
that's how it happened.
This is amazing. And I believe that in these coming moves of the Spirit, I agree. I don't think it's going to be in a church. I think it's out there. God is raising up passionate hearts for the harvest field, to see his glory out there, the light shining in the midst of darkness. And I think we're going to hear the most in the most unsuspected areas that would host revival. Who knows? It might be in some of the darkest places ever. Maybe like we're going out to a porn convention really soon.
Absolutely.
To bring light into
yeah.
the darkness, and we are believing for God to move. What if it broke out in somewhere like that? I mean, that would hit worldwide press. It would do something to release this liquid love into the world around us. I'm just feeling right now that this is hitting some of you. In fact, as Barbara was sharing the story about the intercessor that went out there and started praying, some of you are intercessors sitting at home there right now knowing, oh my goodness, I could do that. Amen.
Yeah, well, you know, it's to me, it's so ordinary, and I think we made it so complicated. And we had about 3 or 4 years ago, it's probably 4 years ago now, this couple come to our church from mainland China. And so I happened to notice they were Asians. They were in the entryway of the church. And I said, well, I'll run back and meet them. So knowing they were from mainland China, I said, are you a believer? And the guy said, no, I'm not a believer. I'm a scientist. And I said, well, my brother is a scientist, and he's also a believer. I said, really, the two aren't incompatible. And I said, would you let me pray for you? Well, he let me pray for him, and the power of God came on him. Well, he got hooked. He started coming back. He and his wife started coming to church every Sunday. Then they started bringing PhD scientists from the University of Michigan from mainland China to the church to get prayed for. And they didn't even believe in God. They were communists. And I'd pray for them. The Spirit of God would come on them. They'd begin to weep. And out of that, this Chinese couple, the wife already was, but the husband got saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit. They've now started, we've encouraged them to come to church twice a month, but twice a month to hold church in their home for the Chinese people. So now they have all these Chinese people that are gathering in their home that they bring to church maybe once or twice a month.
Nations are being affected.
Nations are being affected.
And the intellectuals, I love it.
And it wasn't because of a message. It was a face-to-face encounter. And again, the simplicity of, hey, do you know about this? That God loves you.
I believe God's going to really visit university campuses in this next season, because he loves the intellectuals. But, you know, the enemy would love to have the mind of this next generation.
Absolutely.
But I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, God's ways are opposite of man's ways. So man has pride, and the devil nurtures that, right? But God comes in humility. And so I think some of the most lofty places of man are going to be visited by the power of God's humility. Mm-hmm. It'll be childlike faith.
Yeah, you know, I think that people, we've made sort of like an icon out of the church. I really believe there's a way that we've maybe made it an idolatrous structure.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And whereas I'm moving more and more out of the church. Just like our whole church was in Detroit last week, rebuilding homes.
Yeah, beautiful.
Cleaning up neighborhoods, ministering to people. We took on and rebuilt one entire home for this family, put on a new roof, ministered to the family, went out where the people are, and made Jesus real to them so that they knew God loved them
enough
he sent some people out there to just help them with stuff.
Well, Jesus said, go ye into all the world. He didn't say, stay ye in all the church.
Yeah.
You know, and so when we go, there's a blessing. Whenever we obey that commission and just enjoy the invitation of that, it's like there is such blessing that comes back, not only through what happens out there, but through what happens in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I always get deeply touched when I'm amongst the broken, the bruised, the dying, the suffering. It's like it transforms you, because you feel the heart of Jesus in that.
And, you know, I just think we've made so much out of church that people are so used to being taught.
Mm-hmm.
And they've almost gotten addicted to teaching and to getting their high in church.
Yeah.
When really the whole purpose, like you said earlier, Ephesians 4, the whole purpose is to get equipped to go out and do the ministry. Only 3% of the people that come to church there's only jobs enough for 3% of the people in the church. So that means 97% of the people are assigned to the world. And are we seeing the fruit of it?
It's going to be turning in this hour, though.
I'm so excited
about what I see. Barbara, this is so encouraging. You know, I want you to get more teaching and instruction through Barbara Yoder's ministry. She is so inspiring. She doesn't just talk it, she lives it. And so on your screen right now, you'll see how you can get in touch with her. But I want you to start believing for the next outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is going to be more glorious than you've ever seen before. And you know what? It includes you. It includes your life, your love, your heart for God, and your heart for the world that you live in. You might say, well, how am I going to do that? How can I make a difference? You just be childlike and just ask Daddy God to help empower you to show that love. And remember this, that above all, God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. We'll see you next time.
The Glory School by Patricia King is a journey into the supernatural realms of the glory of God. Patricia King's teaching is an outstanding biblical study. The Glory School is practical, easy to understand, anointed, and will invite you into personal encounter with the Lord and His kingdom.
All I can say is I met the love of God in a way I've never experienced it before.
The Glory School will equip you to be a solid and fulfilled believer who lives and moves in the supernatural. The Glory School explores the supernatural realms of the cross and the covenant, new creation realities, and the person of the Holy Spirit.
It invites you into encounter with God.
It will completely change your life. For the first time, really got the love of God.
Uncover the truth of hearing the voice of God, experiencing the third heaven, angelic majesties, the fire, and the glory.
Be prepared for God to invade your life in a personal way like you've never seen before.
Embark on a faith adventure today with Patricia King's biblically based 18 DVD teaching, The Glory School. Order the Glory School DVD set and manual today for only $79 plus shipping and receive the Ultimate Passion Soaking CD for free. Call 866-980-5464 and ask for TV offer number 328. Go online to patriciaking.com or text BLESS to 42828. Order now.